This week on the Time Bat Show.
Monogamy is such a weird word, too. It sounds like a wood.
It sounds like a very expensive wood, yeah.
Like, this table is made of monogamy. Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 157. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we've got a great show today, don't we?
It is going to be good.
I'm feeling a little sick. Not really sick, more allergic. And you're tired, so combination says it's going to be great. Right?
How close to 100%? Be honest.
What do you mean?
Like, are you feeling right now?
Oh. Well, I'm not sick. I just have allergies. Are you asking me if I'd rather be asleep right now? If that's what you're asking, the answer is yes.
is 100% asleep?
No, what do you like 100% like effectiveness or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Podcast effectiveness or like life effectiveness?
Because
those are two different things.
I guess you're right. How about podcast effectiveness?
Podcast effectiveness is like 40%. Because I can't talk. My nose is so stuffed up that I can't breathe through it. So I have to, like, take a breath whenever I talk. So I can't talk as much. Or I can, sense, I just have to be like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Life effectiveness, like, I don't know, 75%.
That's good.
Yeah. 80%, maybe. I don't know. How about you? What are you doing? How are you doing over there?
So I'm around the same, maybe not quite as high, maybe like 70.
70 for life 70. Or for podcast?
Around the same for both. I don't know. I don't want to say too high and then we'll have a terrible episode. It's like, well, that's this true. Is 70 then.
Yeah, that's true. Have you noticed when people say they're not feeling well and they say, oh, I'm not feeling 100%? Have you noticed that? Like, that's like a phrase.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I heard people say,
right. I'm not describing feeling, it like, that oh, way. I'm not feeling 100% today. But think about this. Do you ever feel 100%?
Never.
I don't think I've ever felt 100% in my life.
No. Have it you? Could always be better.
How close have you felt to 100%? Percentage-wise.
I've been close. Mm-hmm. I took a really nice hike one time, and I remember thinking, all right, we're not going to come anywhere near this in a long time, so let's just really focus on the moment.
Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So what percent would you say you were at on that hike?
That like, was a good...
Like 95? 90?
Like, not, no. 90, probably.
90?
Yeah.
Okay. That's really good. I think I might have gotten a 95%. Like, a couple of times ever.
Cool.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Probably not. I don't know.
I'm curious, like, what...
I don't remember what they were. All right, let me think. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. I got it. This is really stupid.
It's not stupid if you were at 95.
It's fine. I don't think I was at 95. I think I was at 90. But okay. That's the closest I've gotten in a long time, okay? You have to understand, most of my life is like 80%.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, well, maybe I shouldn't say 80%. I think we have a different definition. So you got like wellness and health, right?
Yeah.
And then you got like overall well-being, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So like when you say like, oh, I'm not feeling 100%, you're talking about your like health, you know?
Yeah, sort of.
Whereas I'm more talking about like your overall well-being.
Okay.
Overall capacity, which is what I was saying with your hike. That sounds more of a whole body 90%, you know, like,
yeah,
you feel good, you're in a good emotional state, everything, you know, you're in like a zen kind of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I feel like most of the time I'm at 80% in that overall kind of thing, which I think is pretty good, maybe.
Yeah, that's good.
It used to be a lot worse. But I think I was at 90% like over Christmas break at some point.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had like a spontaneous get together at my house. And that was fun. Because spontaneous things are much more enjoyable for me than planned things. Because yeah. There's no expectations in spontaneous yeah. things.
I totally agree with you. It's for people that think about things in advance a lot, you have to do this is something I've only realized sort of recently, is yeah. you have to do things spontaneously or else they're just not fun after planning.
It's true. I was talking with this with a friend of mine at work recently, and they're very spontaneous, and I am very routine-driven. And I feel like when you get into a routine, it just doesn't feel as fun. Or when you're, like, planning something, it doesn't feel as exciting because you have an set of expectations, and, you know, you if they're not, they're never going to be realized ever in a million years. But mm-hmm. when you're spontaneous, you have no idea what's happening. So you're just kind of there. And it's like, oh, this is really fun. Okay. Or I'm really in a good spot, you know, mentally or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But I'm not spontaneous enough as a person, I don't think. I don't know how to really get there. But I know when I am spontaneous, I'm having a better time with myself then. You know, I feel more comfortable and happy, you know.
So. Yeah. I'm less likely to be spontaneous for myself. It helps to have someone else
absolutely.
Who's spontaneous, absolutely. Like kind of guiding me where
guiding
to go.
Guiding you along. You know, I'm with you.
Because I don't really do spontaneous things just for myself.
Me neither. But if someone wants to be spontaneous, then maybe, you know, I'll do it. I feel like together we're spontaneous sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like me and you. Like neither of us individually are spontaneous, but... individually, or together rather, you know, we are. But anyway, so I don't know why we got into the mental health check on the Time That Show.
We're doing good. We're at 80%, dude. This is
health wise, I'm at like 40-70%, but mentally, I'm like at 85%, maybe 80. You know, right now, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. You know.
Speaking of doing good, I went to the grocery store today.
Yeah.
And I bought some deli meat.
Oh, yeah?
From the deli counter.
Specific brand, or did you go to the deli at Publix?
I went to the deli at Publix. Nice. I got boar's head ham and turkey.
Those are the best. Mm-hmm. And was it delicious?
It was okay. I realized when I got home that the dinner I was supposed to have, I accidentally left out all night.
Oh, no.
Yesterday. Oh, no. It was still on the stove when I got home. I was like, worst. What the hell did I do?
What did you do?
I made like a stew last night, right before I went to bed, and I forgot to put it in the refrigerator.
Wow, you ruined your dinner.
This morning, I was too busy to look in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
And I came home, and there it is.
Then you had to clean it up and throw it away. You're like, yeah. Great. This
throw
is great.
Away the whole thing.
Just made extra work for me for no reason. So you went to the deli to get some deli meat.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you did for dinner?
Yeah, that's what I did for dinner. I had deli meat and pretzels.
Oh, as like a dinner.
Yep. Do you ever have those weird dinners where you just eat like...
You eat whatever
you have. Nothing, but... So you just have to figure something out. Like, you've got some Gatorade, you've got some tortillas, you've got like sour cream, I guess.
Those are like my favorite dinners. They're so stupid. Like one time I had like tortilla chips left over, but they were a little stale.
Those are versatile.
And I had like, I don't remember what I used. I like put like cheese on them and I made like really bad nachos because I didn't have anything else. And that was and I put like jalapenos on there and that was my dinner. I was like, oh, it's good. You know, it's fine. But I don't know. You got to do what you got to do for dinner.
Yeah,
I've been eating so bad lately. You have no idea. Like, can I run you through my week really fast?
Yeah.
Of food. You're eating healthy, apparently. Deli meat and pretzels are way healthier than
that's the most unhealthy thing I've eaten in weeks.
That's great. Good for you. That's Thank you. If I ate that for dinner today, that would be like the healthiest thing I've had in 2 weeks. So, there you go. So, Monday, I played D&D and I had pizza. Because that's what you do. Tuesday, I didn't feel like making dinner, so I just had the leftover pizza. Wednesday, I came home late, and my wife was out, so I was like, well, I'll just get Whataburger. And then for lunch all those days, one day for lunch, they had really bad selection for our, like, food delivery service. So I went to the cafeteria and got a burger. And then the other day, I had tuna salad that was really over-mayonnaised. And then the other day, I had fried chicken something. So, like, I've eaten the worst in the past 3 days that I have. It's been some time since I've eaten this bad. So, yeah. It's not doing great.
It's hard to do lunch at work and be healthy. That's something I still haven't figured out yet.
Some people, like, make their lunch.
You can't. It's like, impossible.
No, a lot of people do it. So hear me out. And I wish I could do this, but I don't have the, I don't know, I don't have the something. They, like, Sunday, right?
Okay.
And they, like, cook a meal. And it's a big meal. And then they bring it in for lunch every day for, like, the whole week. Like, it's like a stew or, like, rice and something, you know what I mean? Like, a big leftover thing you can have.
Yeah.
And then they eat that every day for a week. And they have, like, pre-prepared little mini meals every lunch. Every day. And I don't know how they do that, but they do. Some people do that. You know.
So I do this, but I don't eat it for lunch. I eat it for dinner because if to eat it for lunch, you have to bring it in a container. And
yeah.
I don't like washing things.
Dishes.
Yeah, I work. Use paper plates, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you would have to wash it at work, you mean? Like a Tupperware.
Well, even when I brought it home, like I would have to probably wash it again, and I don't want to have to deal with the container, so I just don't bring, like, the appeal of ordering out to lunch at work, the biggest appeal to it for me is that I don't have to do dishes at all.
You don't have to do anything. You just get it.
I can just throw away the trash.
What do you do for lunch? Like, let's go over that, because we haven't really talked about that on the show, and this isn't a very exciting topic, but, I mean, this is episode 157. If people are still listening by now, they care about what we have for lunch, so what do you eat for lunch normally? At work.
Usually nothing.
Really? You skip it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's, do you eat breakfast?
Usually, yeah.
Like, what do you do for breakfast? Like a banana?
Breakfast? No, I don't really like bananas. I do yogurt a lot. Mm. Or, like...
You're so healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying really hard. Like, really hard.
I feel so bad about myself right now.
You shouldn't feel bad about
it. I had Korean fried chicken for lunch today.
That sounds so good. I would have eaten that.
I felt so bad after eating it, though. Not like, oh, I'm sad that I ate that. Like, physically bad. Like, whoa, that was a lot of food to eat. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, and then they have this food service that comes every day that's like, you can order your lunch from, like, this, like, 4 to 6 places. Mm-hmm. And they deliver it to your work. And it's always, like, the most unhealthy stuff on the planet. Either it's really unhealthy or it's, like, really bad. Like, it's really too healthy. Like, there's no middle ground, right? It's either tacos, fried chicken, and cheeseburgers. Or organic quinoa bowls. You know what I mean? Like, those are the two genres of food. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want organic quinoa. So I always get, like, a burger or fried chicken or something really bad for you. And then I eat it, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing with my life? Every time. But it's convenient, you know? I don't have to do anything.
Yeah. That's what's nice.
It's dangerous, though. But I don't know how to eat healthier at lunch without making a lot more work for myself.
Yeah. You know?
And it's tough.
Yeah, you know, when you do that meal prep thing too, you have to, that's an extra step in the morning. Like, even if you're just grabbing stuff out of the fridge, that's something you have to think about. And
I would forget it. I guarantee you.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, when you bring, I've brought lunch to work before and I just don't eat it. I'm just like, no, I don't want to eat this. I'm going to get a burger.
The best thing, the worst thing. It's having something that you know you should eat, and you're like, oh, I brought that, I prepared it, I'm ready, And then you get home or you get to work or whatever, and you're like, let me just do this other thing that's really bad for me because it's easier. That happens to me all the time.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know. I don't really, there's not really a solution for it. But anyway, back to your deli meat scenario.
I was thinking, do you remember there was an article, I don't know if deli meat is still considered this or not, but there was a while when people were like, if you eat deli meat, it raises your mortality rate by like 80% or something.
This, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know if that's still true, but it was a really scary number.
I don't understand why that would raise your mortality, though. Because it's just deli meat. Does it have some weird in it or something?
I think it might.
Like what?
So I was at the deli counter and looking at the various deli meats, they're all tube shaped.
Right.
I don't think they come out of the animal that shape.
Well, they like do some stuff. I don't really know what the stuff is, but
it becomes a tube though, and I think somewhere in that process,
somewhere in the tube, there it gets bad for you.
Yeah, like so bad for you that it's worse than like smoking and like all this other crazy bad stuff.
Even the really good deli meat is a tube, which is weird.
Yeah,
right.
I'm pretty sure heroin does not increase mortality to like 80%.
How do you know they get it to like that? How do they get it in the tube?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I don't understand.
like
boil it down or something?
Boar's Head has something called, I think it's like oven gold turkey breast.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
It comes in a tube.
I know.
But the outside of the tube looks like a regular turkey.
It's like, weird.
It's like golden brown baked turkey in a tube.
How did they do that?
I don't know.
The turkey isn't a big block of meat that you kill. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, there's like legs and stuff.
Here's my question. So, like, they kill the turkey. They chop up all the meat, right?
Right.
But then they have like a pile of meat. Like, if you carved your turkey for Christmas, right? You got like slices, right?
Yep.
And they're all like different sizes. But then somehow they get all those slices and then they mush them together. And then this tube happens, you know?
And then you can slice the tube, and it looks like regular meat.
But I don't know where how does it come together? You know? I don't get it.
Like, if I take two turkey legs in my hands and, like, smash them together really hard, I don't think it becomes a single piece.
No, and I don't know, I guess.
I don't know.
That part is the part that confuses
me. That's the part that hurts you.
So maybe that's the part that increases your mortality.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that thought I had about deli meat.
So maybe if you went to the deli and there was like a turkey that they made, like Thanksgiving style, and they cut off slices of that and gave it to you, then your mortality rate's fine because that's like right from the bird, you know what I mean?
It's just a turkey at that point.
No tube anymore, right? Right?
Yeah. I think maybe the lesson is anything that comes in a tube is bad news.
Like a cigarette, for example.
A cigarette or like, I don't know what else comes in a tube.
Anything. Cinnamon rolls. What? It's
they true. Do.
Biscuits. I mean, all the things in the store that come out in a tube, you should not eat. Hot sausages, hot dogs.
That's true, yeah.
Tube, the food tube, it's bad.
It's no good. Stay away from it.
You're onto something, though, because I can't think of something that's in a tube that isn't bad for you.
I think it's because the tube doesn't occur in nature. It's not a naturally occurring shape. You have to put it in a factory to get that shape.
So why did we decide on the tube shape? You know, like, we were like, who was like, let's make everything tube-shaped? Like, when the first man made a sausage, right, or a hot dog, they decided on this weird tube, right? And it's like, why are we making it a tube? And he's like, I don't know, because it's weird. Who knows? You know what I mean?
I think hot dogs, it's because of the what they use to wrap it.
Because it's like intestines, right?
Yeah, they use a tube-shaped wrapper. But for something like deli meat, they could just as easily make a square.
I think the tube looks more like the animal. I mean, if you, think about it, isn't a pig just a tube with legs at the end of the day?
I want you to imagine a meeting of deli professionals, and they wheel in the meat, and they've got a square, and they've got a tube.
They've got like a star or something.
They're like, okay, we got to pick one.
One of these is going to be the new thing. And they all agree. They all like have a vote, and they all vote for, not all of them, but most of the votes are the tube.
Like, yeah, it's the least offensive.
Square, I don't think looks natural enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because no animals are square-shaped. But tube is, like, vaguely animal-shaped. You know, it's like, it kind of looks like it could be alive at some point. So I think that's probably why they did the tube.
I think so. I think that's mystery. Really the answer.
You know, history of delis would be a very interesting topic to research.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, it's been, delis have been around for so long. And carving meat and making deli meat has been around for more than 200 years. And there's so much tradition there. And I don't really know how it works at all. And I don't know if the technology has changed, like, a lot. I don't, for all I know, we could be eating the same kind of ways we've been eating
deli. Yeah, I have no idea.
And I don't know. So I feel like that'd be a fascinating, like, history documentary that I would watch.
You know when you go to the deli and the person working there slices the first slice and they're like, do you want to eat this right now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever do that? I always say no.
I always do that. Why don't you do that? Do you not trust them? Do you think they're poisoning it or something?
No, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Why?
I would never just take a piece of ham out of the fridge and eat it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do that all the time.
Oh, you do?
I love taking ham out of the fridge and eating it.
I always need a vessel.
No, for the ham to go on. So, Boris had deluxe ham, and they like shave it into little pieces.
Right.
Oh man, if you give me one little piece of that, I'll just eat all of it, and I don't even need a bread or anything. Just ham in my mouth. You know,
I love. I mean, I probably could. I've just never done that for some reason.
Well, I'm a slob, so you know that's how it is, I guess. Are you ready for your first trivia question?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to skip the first one, and we'll come back to it, because this is just such a good segue. The first trivia category is cooking.
Nice.
What would you like as your lifeline?
I'll pick 50-50.
All right. The folds in a chef's hat originally represented what? A, the chef's years of experience. B, 100 ways to cook an egg. C, their knowledge. Or D, dough being massaged.
So it's either a metaphor or some kind of, like, rank.
Yep. You know how they have folds in their hat?
Yeah. You're talking about the tube hats, right? Yes. That's why. It's the hats.
There's so many tubes
in the kitchen.
What's with all the tubes? There had to be like a king that was obsessed with the tube shape. Like King Edward or something. And he just like made all his royal chefs make everything into tubes.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. This is weird.
He's like, no, I don't want this cheese. Make it a tube.
Make it a tube. Have you ever had, what the hell is that called? Liverwurst.
Oh, yeah, I love liverwurst.
Comes in a tube.
Yep.
You know, it comes in like a weird tube, and it's like bizarro deli meat. Because it's like you go to the deli and you get deli meat, they slice it and they give it to you. Liverwurst, they're just like, nah, we're not going to slice it. Here's the tube. You have the tube, and you slice it yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do. I buy those
skipping
tubes.
They're skipping the step. They're skipping the slice. And they're like, we know this is gross. Cutting it at the deli is not going to make it any better. Here's the tube. Slice it yourself.
It's all yours.
It's all yours. And the more you think about liverwurst, the worse it is. So if you just don't think about it. I used to like it when I was little, but I can't do it anymore. Because I know what it is now, you know. I don't know about you.
But I think it's great. I like it.
If you're not familiar with liverwurst, it's basically like liver chopped up and like with spices or something, right?
Yeah, and bacon usually. And it's like a sausage. But, yeah, but it's like... It's smooth. It's you spread it with a knife, kind of.
It's the grossest thing, like, in the world. It's a lot grosser looking than it is tasting, though, I have to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like pale and...
And then you cut it, and then it, like, spreads for some reason, and you're like, yeah, this should be spreading. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, if you imagine a piece of ham, if you put a knife on it, and it just... smeared like peanut butter. That's liverwurst.
And you're like, why is this a thing? Who invented like liverwurst? That doesn't make any sense either. But anyway, I don't know how I started talking about liverwurst. Folds in a chef hat originally represented their years of experience, 100 ways to cook an egg, their knowledge, or dough being massaged.
I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It's either their years of experience or 100 ways to cook an egg.
Oh, no. I don't think it's years of experience because I've never seen a chef hat with only one fold.
That's true.
Maybe you need like 15 to get the hat, though.
It could be like a black belt kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You can't even wear the hat until you have enough folds.
Yeah, you get like a belt first, and then they put little rings on it. And when you get up to 15, they're like, you've got the hat! And then you give you the hat, and then the starter hat only has like 20 folds. Or 15 folds, or however many folds it is. And then, you know, as you get more experience, you get more folds on your hat.
Do you think they have that in cooking?
What?
Like belt systems, like in karate.
I hope so. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool.
I mean, they probably don't, but I think it would be cool.
I think they should.
This sounds like the plot of an anime, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like some kid wants to be a cook, and he has to work his way up through the cooking ranks, and he gets all the little, and he's like, I got the blue belt, or whatever, and then he gets the hat, and he gets like the different folds.
Anyway. Do you know what? Who does have ranks like this? Starbucks.
They do.
They really do. I know because I used to work there for like a month or something when it's I was funny like 17.
That we both used to work at Starbucks because I don't know why we both did. We didn't work at the same time.
No.
But we both have experience in Starbucks and they have this weird ranking system.
They do.
I remember it. It's so bizarre.
You start with a green apron. I still mm-hmm. have mine.
Yep.
And then you go to a black apron after you master the coffee book.
But don't you remember? You couldn't make some of the coffees until you got a specific apron. Do you remember that?
That's right, yeah.
It's like, no, you're not allowed to do that yet. You only have the green apron.
You got to prove you can do the dragon kata before you can make the Ethiopian special coffee.
I was so bad at Starbucks. What apron did you get to?
I only got to green. I didn't get anything. Yeah.
I think I got to the next one, but I was there a long time, so like I should have moved up a lot faster, but I did not. They had a weird... How many aprons did they have?
I think it went green to black, and then after black, you got special pins and stripes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then you were allowed to make some other stuff.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre. I remember I really wanted to get high in the system, but I never did.
Yeah, it's okay. It's embarrassing, but they really got me with that system. I wanted that black apron so bad.
Yeah, well, you're only there for a month. You're not gonna get the black apron after a month.
But I like really wanted it. And
but do you remember you had to like learn all the coffees or something to get it?
Yeah, and there were stupid tests. Like you had to make a cappuccino and float a quarter on top, and if it sank, then sorry, no apron for you.
I forgot about.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
They really do that.
Oh, God.
I couldn't get my quarter to stay. It always sank.
I think I cheated on that one. Pretty sure I did. Doesn't matter, though.
It's not even possible. I don't think you can actually do it. I think he's, like, catching flies with chopsticks.
I don't think anyone can do it. I think they just... If they like you, they just give you the green apron.
Yeah.
If they don't like you, they give you the cappuccino quarter test, and they're like, you didn't do it! I guess you're not getting the black apron. And you're like, okay, fine. Next time in Starbucks, I should pay attention to who has the green apron, who has the black one. You know?
I'd like to ask one of the black aprons if they still do the quarter test.
Maybe they only did this crazy stuff like in that couple years that we were working there. You know, back in 2008 or whatever that was.
You know what? You know what I mean? I think we worked at the same store. What if it was just a really messed up manager? What if there's not actually ranks at all?
That would be so hilarious.
It was just this weird experimental location.
They're like, we're doing some weird things here at the Starbucks. Because I've told people the story of how Starbucks has this weird rank system, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, no, they do. Like, and you're not allowed to make some things until you rank up in the system. And they're like, that doesn't check out. Maybe it was just, like, the weird Starbucks that we worked at had, like, some bizarre experimental system that they were trying out, you know? That'd be funny, though.
That would.
I don't know. It's weird. I wonder if Starbucks still does that. We need to ask. If you work at Starbucks, listener, you should contact us, timebatshow@timebatshow, and tell us if they still do the weird ranking system, because it's fascinating. But I digress. Chef's hat, folds are years of experience or 100 ways to cook an egg?
I'm going to say 100 ways to cook an egg.
Wow. Is there a logic there, or are you just going with it?
A chef hat is white like an egg. And eggs are important to chefs.
True.
And
there you go. That's it.
I don't even know if there are 100 ways to cook an egg. I think at around way number 80, you're starting to get a little silly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. But yeah, do we really need this many ways to cook an egg?
I guess you can do this to an egg, but you never would.
No one would eat that, but you can do that. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That's correct, actually.
Yes.
That's why I don't think this question is real. Because, so I found this on Better Homes and Garden Trivia, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it is. And they're talking about this 100 ways to cook an egg. And they're like, oh, my source for this is this website called The Reluctant Gourmet, which is just some random blog on the internet. And it's just talking about, they have one line about how the folds used to signify the 100 ways that they knew how to prepare an egg. They don't have any references themselves. They just say it randomly. And then they say, oh, they don't do that anymore, though. And then it's like, okay. So we just believe this one line. And this other website believes it, too. Which is like, I don't know, it's weird.
You know, everybody who reads this trivia question is going to say it like it's the truth.
I know. It's just bizarre to me. And this is a good example of the internet and how we've lost the truth. Because I can write a blog and make up some random fact that's not true. And then someone else, if they source that blog as like a reference for, like, let's say I said, you know, Abraham Lincoln had... what's like a weird disease that he doesn't have, that he didn't have?
Leprosy.
Leprosy, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's probably easy to disprove. Abraham Lincoln had a second little toe that no one saw. You know?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because no one would be able to disprove that. And then I would say this on my blog, and it's nowhere else on the internet, but some other place found it, and they're like, oh, he had a second little toe, that's so weird. And then they use that, and they reference my blog as their source. Is that a fact all of a sudden, because someone referenced me? Is that all we're using as, like, fact-checking? Like, well, they said it over here, so it must be true, because these two places have it, you know, independently, or whatever.
Do you know what's even crazier on the internet? Do you know about the Internet Archive Project?
Yeah.
Archive.org?
Yeah.
I think about half of Wikipedia's sources are from websites that are not up anymore, even. So even if this website you had about Abraham Lincoln's second toe, even if you stopped paying the bill and it went down, someone can still cite that.
Oh, yeah.
As a real true source.
As a fact all of a sudden now?
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, it's not validated in any other way, though. It's just, It's bizarre to me that this is how we're sourcing things. It's weird.
And there are tons of Wikipedia pages that have sources that are just random websites that are not even up anymore. They're on archive.org from like 2008 or something.
But the only place you can find the fact is the source and Wikipedia. So it's like, if those are the only two places that exist, is it even true? Well, probably not.
It's on Wikipedia, so it must be.
Now it's getting weird.
Yeah.
And then it's like, have you ever tried looking up a quote and you're like, did someone say this quote? And you look it up and it's on like one quote website.
Yeah.
But then it's on other quote websites, but they just link back to this original quote website. It's like John's Fun Quotes. And it's like, am I supposed to believe John's Fun Quotes is like the know all for quotes? Like, it happens all the time. And you're like, did they really say that? Or did John just make this up?
I think quotes are the worst example of this, because for all we know, Einstein did not say like a third of what is attributed to him.
Yeah. It's just people saying that he said it.
Yeah.
But then the weird thing about quotes is, even now, you can say, oh, Einstein said this, like make up a new Einstein quote. And if enough websites think it's funny or cool and they like take it as real, then your website could go away and they still have it on their website. And when people Google that, they see a bunch of websites that have it. And now all of a sudden it's a real quote because enough websites have chosen to believe that your quote is real. You know, it's kind of wild. Yeah. That's how that works.
That makes me laugh.
I kind of want to make a fake quote.
What did Albert Einstein say? We're starting it right now.
It has to be like kind of, you know, profound, but not too profound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It has to be like kind of funny, but kind of profound.
I don't know. I'm not very good at on the spot profundity.
How about, I may not always eat ham,
but when I do,
I eat it with jam.
I eat it with a fork and a knife. I don't
know. With jam. That's how he likes his ham.
Yeah, and that's not really a quote, but we'll go with that. And if it was put on the website, someone would find it. Anyway, I don't know. I just think it's weird how we're so, I don't know. It's like we care about facts being true, but we don't at the same time.
Do you know what else we do?
I don't know. What?
I think half of Twitter is people getting angry at people that don't exist. Like, just totally made up people.
You've said this before, and I think you might be right.
Like, do you ever read on Twitter about, you guys shouldn't do this and this and this because it's mean to these marginalized groups? And it's like, I'm pretty sure there's no one that is actually doing this. You're like making someone up and getting angry at him.
People like to be angry at things. Yeah. I think it's more fun. Well, maybe not fun. It's more like, I don't know. You feel better about yourself for getting angry at things than you do about helping other people. So it's just easier that way.
This is something I'm really good at, like making up people that don't exist and getting angry at them. Like, let's imagine this guy. Oh, this guy, he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
He's so bad. He hurts dogs and he like puts bleach in the water.
That guy. Yeah. Screw that guy. Yeah. He's the worst. I make up fake people to get angry at all the time. I think my problem, and probably the rest of the internet, is I think everyone is out to get me or some group. You know, everyone's nefarious, right? It's like everyone's malicious. You know, but in reality, people are just dumb. Like, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So when you say like, oh, there's this group that's maliciously trying to attack some other person, it's like, probably not. It's probably just some people that are really dumb. They don't realize, and really ignorant, and they don't realize, you know, that it's doing something like that. But so you make up this boogeyman, right? You make up John, the dog fighting bleach and pool guy that, you know, that's trying to, he's a villain, basically, you know, because it's easier to think of him as a villain than it is to think of as somebody that just doesn't know any better.
He eats liverwurst, like, what a guy.
What a guy. He, yeah. he doesn't pay, he doesn't tip his waiters and waitresses,
Dude, yes. He doesn't tip the hotel guy. No, you have to make it, like, a little more obscure so that people feel like, oh, I tip my hotel guy. They're probably, by attacking him, I'm better than, you know.
Right, because you have to feel better. You have to feel like a better person than him.
Right.
That's important. To be a villain, you have to be clear that everyone is better than him. Like, you are better than him. Even if you're a terrible person, you're still better than him because you do a couple things that are all right.
Like, everybody tips their waiter. Even villains do. But only good guys tip their, like, bus man that holds the luggages at the hotel.
Right. And he doesn't hold doors for old ladies. You know,
no.
He doesn't say please and thank you. He doesn't say bless you when someone sneezes.
He puts ketchup on his steak.
He likes it medium well.
Well is well done is a giveaway. Medium well. Yeah. That's like...
Well done is just like this person doesn't.
Like, obviously that person doesn't exist.
But medium well is like, all right, I can believe this. Ketchup and medium well, like, they just, like, work together. It really paints a picture of John, the villain.
He thinks Alien... he thinks Prometheus was better than the original Alien. Way better.
And he, like, goes to defend it a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, it was good! It was good.
It was very philosophical. And the original Alien
I like Prometheus, but it's not
better. I didn't like it. Alien, it was bad.
Of course it's not better than the original Alien. His favorite movie is, like, Fight Club.
Can I ask you, like, a question you have to answer honestly?
Yeah, sure.
Did you ever like Fight Club? Like, really like it? Like, be like, ooh. Did you ever feel like that about Fight Club?
I don't want to answer this question.
I did. I'll say it.
You did like it?
I thought it was like, whoa.
I did. When I was, like, 16.
Me too.
Or something. I thought it was... I think it's a good movie still, like, to this day. But I don't think it's the best movie or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's not my favorite movie.
Have you ever put it on a top 10 list?
No. Well, probably when I was 16.
I think I did when I was 16.
But not now. I like David Fincher a lot. And Fight Club is probably my least favorite David Fincher movie. So, if that tells you anything about Fight Club, I guess. You know what I mean? I think it's a deep movie for 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa.
It has really, like, amazing actors in it, obviously. So
it's
that
a good
helps.
Movie. It's, yeah. It's a good movie. I just like to use that as an example. Of
that's a really good one.
Would like as his favorite movie. Because it's like, it's not unbelievably bad. It's actually good. It just says a lot about John that he picks that movie as his favorite one.
He also likes Boondock Saints.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Those are his two favorite movies right there. John, Boondock Saints, and Fight Club. And Citizen Kane. Just to, like... because he has to be well-rounded. And he has to pretend that he likes...
His favorite actor is a Sidney Poitier.
John just sounds like a douche now.
And Edward Norton.
Edward Norton, of course. In Fight Club. Because he's in Fight Club. Are you ready? Are you ready for your second trivia question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Your category is symbols. What would you like as your lifeline?
I'll do a Google search for this one.
Okay. I can't believe they call it this. This is also Better Homes and Gardens trivia, so I'm sorry in advance. The hashtag symbol is technically called a what? They actually use the word hashtag, not number sign or pound sign, which is really stupid. But what are you going to do? The hashtag symbol is technically called a what? Is it A, the octothorpe? B, the pound sign? I guess I gave that away. C, the ictothrone? Or D, the crosshatcher?
Octothorpe. There are 8 squares on the outside, so maybe that one.
Ooh. Wow, you're really logicking this one up.
What was the ictothrone?
Ictothrone, octothorpe, pound sign, crosshatcher.
It kind of looks like a throne if you shave off a couple of the legs.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, it's true.
If you were to sit on a chair and the legs kind of went forward and backward, you could kind of make part of one. I don't know. I think I'm giving that. Ikta. Right. I think that's six, maybe.
Ikta throne, Octothorpe, crosshatcher, pound sign. You want to use your lifeline?
I don't think this is real, so I don't think Google's going to help me.
I mean, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Better Homes and Garden trivia, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Ikta throne, Octothorpe.
Pound sign, crosshatcher. I like how the other two are like, nah, it's not that. It's basically between Octothorpe and Octothorpe and Ikta throne.
I think it's Octothorpe, final answer.
Because of the eight.
This sounds like the most gotcha answer.
Why?
Because, I don't know, I feel like if I were... What was the name for our guy that really likes Fight Club?
John.
I think this is a fact he tells at parties. Like, someone says, like, hashtag best day ever, and he's like, it's actually called the Octothorpe.
So Octothorpe's your final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Octothorpe is correct.
Yes.
And John, Fight Club John, totally would use this as a trivia question. It's actually called the Octothorpe.
Puts on his sunglasses and like chugs his Coors Light.
He wouldn't drink Coors Light.
What would he drink?
He'd drink something, I don't know, something douchier. But like...
Arrogant Bastard IPA.
It wouldn't be popular, but it wouldn't be unpopular.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't even know, like a mead or something. I don't know what it would be.
Mead would be really funny.
What?
Mead would be really funny.
Do we have any Reddits today?
We do. This was posted by Ethan Mango. Thanks, Ethan Mango.
Thanks, Ethan.
He says, it's now been... 69 days since the year 2000.
Today?
Yep.
Wow.
How will you celebrate this monumental day?
I will by doing absolutely nothing, probably.
Same.
What about you? Do you have plans?
Well, I already ate some deli meat, so that's a pretty big celebration.
That's true. It was a liverwurst, though.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, I thought about getting that. I really did.
Did you really?
At
today?
Deli, yeah. I really like it. I think it's delicious.
I haven't had liverwurst in 15 years. I used to eat it all the time as a kid, and then I realized what it was, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't.
It really does taste good. You just can't think about
I think I'm overthinking it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm overthinking it. Like, this is a liver.
Like, it tastes like delicious bacon spread. Like,
oh my god, it's so gross, though. Can I ask you something about 69 and 420?
Yep.
Why have those become like, I mean, I know why, but like, why have those become like such a meme-y number, right? Like, I know why, right? I know what the reference is. But why have we really latched onto those numbers? Like, I don't really get it. You know, there's like a bunch of other numbers that we can reference as like, you know, but we don't. We just latched onto those two. You know, it's like, it's a sex and a drug reference. Oh, you know.
Which other numbers are there? 666? That's a good one.
I don't know. I just don't get why it's so... It's like when people see 420 and 69 together, they're like, oh my god! It's like, I don't get it. Like, why is it funny? I mean, it's a sex joke and a drugs joke. But it's not even a joke. It's a reference to other jokes that are actually funny. You know,
do you know what I think it is?
What is
it? I think it's screen names. I think that's what's responsible for this.
Oh, yeah.
I think screen names in the early 2000s. And
like XX Joker 420.
420 69. Yeah. Actually, you know, in 2008, you would never use both side by side. That's like a triple dog dare. Do you know what I mean?
No, you don't do that. Yeah. You don't do that. But it's funny. And it's like a reference to how ridiculous screen names were.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, right? our generation, maybe not our generation, but you and me are old enough to remember those screen names. The young folks that are finding these things funny now don't even remember the screen names. They were probably not even around during that part of the internet. So why are they finding it funny?
I think the timeline of it was, and this is going to kind of reveal how old we are, is when we were kids, people would use those numbers in earnest. Like, it wasn't a joke. It was like, yeah, I smoke weed and I do stuff.
I have sex with women.
Yes. Or men. You can, I mean, it works both ways.
You can do it either way. Yeah, it's either way.
But yeah, when we were kids, people did it in earnest. And then after that, people started using it ironically.
And then at some point, it became a joke.
Right.
And at some point, the original reference was lost. And it just became funny because it's a joke.
Yeah. Funny because people after us made fun of our generation for using screen names like that in earnest.
They don't know the original reference.
Probably not, no.
That's so weird that humor works like that. It doesn't make any sense because there's no joke there. There's a reference to the ghost of a joke that doesn't exist anymore. So, like, what are you finding funny? The only thing I can think of is the funniness is just because it's repeated all the time. So it's like you're trained into thinking, this is humorous. And it's like, why? It's because, well, everyone uses it in a sense of humor. So it must be funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? And therefore it is? I don't know. It's fucking confusing me.
It's stupid.
It is stupid. I'm really old man yelling at clowns right now.
Do you know, I like screen names with silly numbers in them, but
me too.
I never use 42069. There's way funnier things you can do with numbers. Like, I told you about one of my screen names, Obi-Wan 5000, yeah. Like, are you kidding? That's an epic screen name. That's way funnier than Obi-Wan, like, 42069.
Obi-Wan 5000, yeah. When did you have this screen name?
It was recently.
I don't remember this. Was it?
I texted you as soon as I did it. You were like, that's amazing.
I remember. What was this for? What was this for? You don't remember.
Some random forum.
Wait, you just needed,
needed a screen name.
How did you come up with Obi-Wan 5000? Yeah. And was yeah in capitals or was it lowercase yeah?
So proper case Obi-Wan, capital O,
sure,
5000, and then all caps yeah.
I like how the 5000 is in the middle of the Obi-Wan and the yeah. It's like you started with Obi-Wan 5000 because that sounds cool, but then you're like, oh, but I need a yeah in there somewhere. But I can't put it before the 5000. I'll just put it afterwards. This is a good password, too, Obi-Wan 5000, yeah. But that's a lot better than Obi-Wan 42069.
Tons better.
But, you know,
way funnier.
I think internet humor is weird, and I'm too old for it because back in my day, this is gonna sound so stupid. But, I mean, internet humor has always been really dumb. Like, always. Always been. I feel like now, it's more about, like, the collective consciousness of the internet, if that makes sense. Like, what does everyone find funny? And that's what I find funny. So it's like, you're almost laughing at the repetitive nature, the cyclical nature of the internet. It's very meta humor, you know what I mean? It's like, you're laughing at the whole thing as one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not really making any original jokes anymore. It's just, it's this whole giant amorphous blob of humor that you're kind of just laughing at because that's what's funny or something. I don't know. It's very hard to explain.
What's funny are memes, and memes are repetitive. That's that's like internet
humor. And they
get
funnier as you repeat them, I think. Yeah. I mean, to some people. Not to me, but to some people. And I think that's where these, you know, these jokes come from. Like this humor.
I guess it's nice, too, because everybody can be funny that way. You know what I mean?
You don't have to be clever anymore.
No.
You just have to, you have to know when to insert the meme in. Basically, have you ever played Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, of course.
It's basically that, right? So you just, you have your card, and you just wait for the right moment when that card is the funniest, and then you play it. That's memes. That's all memes are, right? You're just, you have the meme, and you just wait for the moment when that meme is funniest in reference to something, and then there you go. That's humor now. You're just playing cards selectively. That already exist. You know?
It really is just like that, because you probably do have, like, what, 7 memes on your phone?
Yeah. You have however many you have. Mm-hmm. And then someone says something, and then you use a meme. You're like, I use this meme. I choose you, Pikachu. And then, you know, it's not an original meme. It's a meme that already exists. But it's in reference to this other thing, and then people laugh. And that's how humor works.
I used AIDS and won the round.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And I don't know. I like, you know, I don't love it, but it's fine. I don't know. No one laughs at my jokes anymore. You know, I'm too old for humor. Or people will laugh at the stupidest things I'll say, you know, and then not laugh at the really good stuff.
I laugh at your jokes.
I know you do, but like...
But like, I don't know if that, how much that's worth.
I appreciate you laughing at my jokes. I really do. But... Sometimes I, like, it's weird. Sometimes I, like, think I'm really clever. I'm like, this is really funny. This is a good joke. And no one laughs. And I'm like, damn, I thought that was really good. And then I'll say something off the cuff, like some stupid-ass comment. And it'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
And I'll think to myself, like, other people would be like, oh, good job. That was really funny. Good job, self. But I'll be like, God fucking damn it. Like, I should have never said that. Because now I get to compare these two jokes that clearly one of them is better, but no one gets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, oh no, I feel out of touch. Like,
so, you know, this is good. This is a good example. Because it's a Cards Against Humanity example. Because, again, I played Cards Against Humanity wrong, just like I played the internet wrong. It's the same principle.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cards Against Humanity round. The category, or the what do they call those?
The prompt, the, or prompt, whatever, yeah.
The prompt, thank you, was blank the musical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the card Aaron Burr. So I put Aaron Burr the musical, and you might not even get this. And I think this is one of the best jokes I've ever made in my life, because Aaron Burr is the person that shot John Hamilton, who has a musical about him. And no one got it, and I lost the round.
I didn't get it.
But, in my defense, it's very clever and very funny. And you know who would make this joke? That guy that no one understood in the late 90s. I forget his name. He's like a talk show host now.
Norm MacDonald?
No. The other guy. He has a beard and black hair.
Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
Not Kobe.
He's like a weird talk show host now, I think. Or maybe he's on talk things. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay. But
the point of the matter is, I'm not as clever as I think I am, maybe.
I think you're clever. I think you're really clever. You're one of the very few people that make me, like, actually laugh. Like, really, really laugh.
I appreciate that.
But I have a weird sense of humor. Or maybe I don't. Maybe everybody else just sucks.
I think you and I have a similar sense of humor. I think that's what it is. And I just think other people have different sense of humors. And that's okay. And I'm just out of touch with what's the current sense of humor is really what it is. And nothing is wrong with other people or me. It's just I am currently not the same. I do not have the same sense of humor as the, you know, the majority of the population anymore. And that's okay. As long as I have a couple people that think it's funny, that's really all that matters. The end of the day.
I think it's funny.
What do you want for your last lifeline? Your category is education, or your last, yeah. Your category is education.
Monty Hall. All
right, you ready? Mm-hmm. One of these is a real major at Cornell University. Is it A, underwater basket weaving? B, monogamy? C, wine? Or D, Disney?
I think I know the answer to this.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's underwater basket weaving.
Why is that?
I'm going to make that my final answer, I'm so sure.
Really? Mm-hmm. You're just going for it?
Yep.
Final answer.
Yep.
No, it's not.
Oh, that was a good trick.
I know, because it's like the jokey thing.
Dang, I thought that website was like going in on that joke.
I mean, it could have.
Yeah, but no, that's a meme. I knew it wasn't real, but I thought that nurse
that predates memes, though. That was like a joke when we were younger. Yeah. No, underwater basketball game. Would you like to take another guess? Because I'm being so nice. Monogamy, wine, or Disney?
Monogamy is the funny one.
I have a degree in monogamy.
But are you monogamous? Monogamy? No. I'm only interested in the academic side.
I'm only interested in monogamy in the academic sense.
Yeah. Practically and philosophically, I'm polyamorous. Who's that guy we invented that really likes... He needs a name. Tucker. Okay. Yeah, really likes Fight Club.
I thought it was John.
John, yeah, John.
Tucker is better, though. Tucker is way better. No one is named Tucker anymore. No,
it's a terrible name. I'm sorry to any Tuckers.
No, I love Tucker. That's much better than John. John is such a basic name. Tucker is much better. Why? Does he have a degree in monogamy? Is that what you're saying?
Nobody says he does.
Oh.
He took like half a semester and dropped out.
Dropped out. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, but it was too basic for me.
Yeah. Just... I'm too advanced. That's why I'm polyamorous now.
Yeah, I'm above that.
They weren't on my level.
Yeah, I have the black apron at Starbucks and the chef's hat with the 100 things instead of one. Monogamy, wine, Disney. Cornell University major.
I'll go with Disney, final answer.
Disney?
Yep.
Like the company?
Yes.
You really think Cornell has a major in Disney?
None of the other two are even... You can't major in monogamy. Like, there's nothing to learn.
Tucker would disagree with you. Yeah, there's nothing to learn. You could learn, like, the social history of monogamous relationships. Like, monogamy through the years. It's kind of like women's studies, but...
But not more... at all?
It's like women's studies, but... In the view of marriage. I don't know.
You could study penguins and...
Yeah. Because penguins are monogamous, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Aren't, like, hummingbirds monogamous, too? There's, like, there's like three creatures that are monogamous.
I think a lot of birds are. Cockatoos are.
You could study that. See? Monogamy doesn't sound so crazy now that you think about it, does it?
That's not a monogamist, though. Like, someone who studies cockatoos is not called a monogamist.
What do you do? I'm a monogamist. No, I don't mean your lifestyle. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a monogamist. I study monogamy. Monogamy is such a weird word, too. It sounds like a wood.
It sounds like a very expensive wood, yeah.
Like, this table is made of monogamy.
It sounds like a table in hell, kind of.
Yeah, the monogamy.
This is the monogamy table. And you sit here and you sit here.
And you're monogamous. In heaven, it's a polyamorous table. You know, they're just having a party up there.
24/7.
But down in hell, it's all monogamy. And it's like the person that you hate the most.
Yeah.
Is at the table with you. And you got to be, ooh, that's a good layer of hell. Hell, you go in. Doesn't matter your sexual orientation. You're matched with the person, like your worst boyfriend or girlfriend.
Okay.
Over the course of your life, you know? Like your most hated one. And you have to spend the rest of their life with them. And you can't get divorced in hell. And you, like, just are there. You're stuck in that relationship forever.
Have you ever been to one of those restaurants in the South where you eat fried chicken and instead of tables, they just... Everybody sits at the same table, even people that you don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a big, long picnic thing.
Yeah, it's like right? that, yeah. But you have to mm-hmm. sit with, you know, your most hated boyfriend or girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Forever.
Forever. And you have to eat fried chicken together and pretend like... No, you have to convince everybody else at the table that things are great between you guys.
In your relationship? It's like, are you guys doing it okay? It's like, oh yeah, we're great. We're just fine. We, you know, she's just gone to yoga last week, and I'm helping out around the house. You know, we're redoing our kitchen. We had a barbecue a couple months back. Sorry we missed you, you know. Yeah. And, you know, the little ones, he's in karate, finally. You know, he's got that blue belt. And, yeah, everything's just going great. It's just, you know, living the dream, as they say, you know.
Taking any vacations this summer?
Like, yep. It's like, oh, no, yeah, we're going to Ohio to see the world's giant ball of yarn or whatever, you know. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that'll be fun. You know, taking a half day on Friday to do that. You know, really cashing them in.
Yeah. That's a good layer of film.
It is.
So yeah, Disney, I think. Final answer.
Oh, right. Disney's incorrect.
Damn it. What are they doing over there at Cornell?
All right, you get another choice.
Is it monogamy? I mean, is it really? Already.
It's monogamy or wine?
Wine is way too obvious. That's a real major.
Well, maybe that's the answer. That's what I'm saying. One of these is a real major at Cornell University.
The other questions, though, were not real. The previous question was, what does the
You're really Shepard metagaming mean? This trivia question. All right.
I think it's monogamy. Final answer.
No, it's not monogamy. It's wine. Of course it's wine. I can't believe I got you to pick everything but the most obvious one. You picked monogamy over wine. How do you even do that? I really fucked with your mind on this one.
You did, because more places than Cornell have
I know, majors but it was this how the question was worded.
Okay.
You were looking for something more weird.
Yeah.
Like, wine is like, whatever, that's not weird. Monogamy, that's weird.
Yeah.
Or Disney. You convinced yourself that monogamy could be a major for like half a second there.
I mean,
you know what
Disney is big enough culturally that I could see a major in it.
I could too. Maybe in a couple years, they could do it. I mean, they could do it now. You know what I should have done? When you picked monogamy, I should have just been like, yep, it's monogamy.
You should have.
And never told you that I was lying to you. And you could have gone your whole life thinking that at Cornell University, you could major in monogamy.
I would have told people that.
I know. I really should have done that. I'm too honest, though. I don't like lying to people. Well, I don't like lying to you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that would have been a brutal lie because...
It would have, and you would have. I know you would have used that as like a fun fact, and then I would feel so bad.
Yeah,
you'd be like, "Oh, I'm so glad you told me about the monogamy thing. I use that all the time."
Can you imagine me explaining that to people, and then people are like, "No, it doesn't." They look it up. It's like, "No, they don't." He's what is he talking about?
And then you're like, "Oh shit."
I would never know. No one would confront me on that.
No one wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. Actually, you're right. They would look it up after, and they'd be like, he's full of shit. And then they'd be like, wow, he's a weirdo. Why did he tell me the monogamy fact about Cornell? That's a really weird thing to lie about.
Yeah.
Isn't that a weird thing to lie about?
It is. Like, what else am I willing to lie about if I'm...
They would think, yeah, and why pick monogamy? Out of all the things, you could have picked underwater basketball weaving, but no, you're like, I'm going in monogamy. That's the fact I'm going with Cornell and Cornell's majors. And people think you're real weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I would never have done that, but it would have been funny. It would have. Do we have any other Reddits?
We do. This was asked by Hibberlot. Thanks, Hibberlot.
Thank you, Hibberlot.
He asks, why do a lot of men have an impulse to pick up a good stick when going for a walk?
That's a great question. Because every time I go to a... This is weird. Do you do
that? Of course.
Every time I see a stick on a walk, I'm like, I'm picking that up. I have a theory. Do you have a theory?
I want to hear yours.
First? You want to hear my
first? Yes.
My theory is that men, when they were younger, when they were little boys, we use sticks... as a way to play pretend, like, in, like, fantasy games, right?
Right.
So you imagine the stick being a sword or a lightsaber or a mace or a baseball bat or whatever you want it to be. And as we age, we never really lose that sense of, you know, what a stick is. And you don't see sticks all the time. So when you see one, you think back to when you were 12 and you're like, that stick is a sword and I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to swing it around like a sword for 5 seconds and then I'm going to throw it away. But I'm going to pick that stick up and have that like 10 seconds of childhood again really fast. You know what I mean? Before I toss
it.
Or maybe you keep it for a couple minutes. I don't know. But, you know, you have that. That's what I think it is. I don't know. What's your theory?
That's a really good theory. It's kind of like, since the sword is make-believe, you've been using that sword your whole life. Even if it's different sticks, like, you're picking up the same sword.
Yeah, you have an image in your head of your
sword. Like, this is my sword.
Yeah. What does your sword look like? Your imaginary one.
What does your sword look like?
Oh, God. We just cut that part and we put it in the stinger of the episode and that's just all. It's like, what does your sword look like? And then that's it. And then people are like, wow, this episode is
gnarled and has knots in it.
It's got like some branches growing out of it because it's a stick. I meant your imaginary sword.
Mine's a lightsaber.
It is? Nice. I think mine is like a long sword, like a knight kind of thing. No, this is an important question. Is your lightsaber blue or green or red or what?
I think it varies. I have a mood ring lightsaber.
Ooh, depends. Mm-hmm. Sure. So what would you, like right now, if you picked up a stick and you turned your lightsaber on, what color would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Blue, red,
green. Blue or green? Probably blue.
Good side. Light side.
Yeah, blue is my go-to, but, you know, it can be red or purple.
Ooh, red, when you're in a bad mood, when you feel like a Sith.
Yep.
You know. Purple is kind of like, could go either way. I don't know if a lot of Jedis have purple lightsabers.
Samuel L.
Oh, he does. Mace Windu did have a purple lightsaber. Forgot about that. I just watched the prequels again, like, this weekend. I don't know why I did. I just did. Because I have Disney Plus now. And I was like, well, let's watch the prequels. And I gotta say, they're not as bad as I remember them to be. I mean, they're still bad, but I think we need to clear the air with the prequels. Remember when we saw the prequel? We saw the Phantom Menace together when we were like 11.
Yeah, you remember that? I do. Yeah. We were devastated. It was a bad day.
It was bad. But looking back, they weren't as terrible as I remember them, honestly. I don't know if you've seen them recently.
Maybe it's because when we saw them when we were younger, I mean, we were the same people, pretty much. Like, we had expectations, and none of them were met.
And they're just not as good as the original Star Wars movies. Nothing will ever come there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. But there's a lot of politics in the prequels. Like, a lot. It's like a lot of politics. And as a kid, you're like, I don't care about the politics. Just give me the lightsaber stuff, you know? Give me the cool fighting and stuff. Which the prequels had a decent amount of cool fighting. But they're so slow. And there's a lot of, like, romance and stuff. And you're like, oh, God, this is so boring, you know? But Attack of the Clones, not a good movie. You know, that was just bad. It's just not good. Because it's, like, mostly just Anakin and Padme being like, oh, I love you, na-na-na-na-na, you know?
Yeah, and then they're, like, fighting and... Is that the Eye of the High Ground Anakin one?
That's Revenge of the Sith. That's the last one.
Yeah, they blur together for me.
I know. And then Phantom Menace is like cool for a little while. It's cool in the beginning. And then you meet freaking little Anakin. And then the movie just goes off the rails. And you're like, let's spend an hour on Tatooine talking to little Anakin. And he's going to go pod racing. And you're like, why are we even spending time with
Where's the adventure? Like, there's no adventure.
It's like George Lucas is like, we're going to divert all the cool stuff that's happening with Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Maul. And we're going to be like, go to Tatooine and just play around with Anakin Skywalker for an hour, you know?
Yeah.
And Jar Jar Binks. And it's just like, oh my God, this is so stupid. And they pod race. And then they get back to the plot and it like gets okay again. But it's so long, part of the movie.
One of the worst things about the prequels, especially episode one, was the lightsaber duels. Because I think from a martial arts standpoint, those were probably some of the best lightsaber duels in any of the movies. Yeah. Because Darth Maul was crazy good with what that weapon. Yeah. He did insane flips and stuff. They were really cool. Yeah. But the duels didn't mean anything. There was no underline.
You didn't really care.
There was no message for why they were dueling.
Yeah, like, whereas in the originals, there was always something going on. I think the last duel in Revenge of the Sith, where Obi-Wan slices Anakin's legs off, there was, like, some thematic relevance there. But all the other ones were just like, oh, we're fighting for fun.
Yeah.
Because it's cool, you know.
Like, yeah, whatever. I mean, if you take, what was the most recent movie? The Last Jedi, right?
Yeah.
If you take The Last Jedi...
You mean
Rise of Skywalker, that's right. That? I don't have a good memory, I'm sorry. If you take the fights in that movie, Kylo versus Rey. Their fight symbolizes their relationship. There's metaphors there. In episode one, it was just fighting for the sake of fighting, which isn't...
Because it's cool, because they're going to have cool lightsaber battles.
It's why John Wick 2 and 3 weren't as good as the first one. It's because there's no more revenge. True. There's no reason for the violence.
It's just John Wick shooting people because that's what he does.
And I don't care about that.
I mean, I do, but not as... Yeah, you don't care as much, basically. I have to say, though, in the prequels, Obi-Wan is great. I love Obi-Wan. And I wish the movies around him were better. You know what I mean? I just do. Like, Ewan McGregor was such a good Obi-Wan. It was such a good character. And every time he's on the screen in the prequels, you're like, wow, this is great. And then something else happens with Anakin, and you're like, never mind. Oh, my God. These are so stupid.
Yeah.
And I just wish they had a better movie to put Obi-Wan in, and they didn't, you know? Because I love Obi-Wan. He's great. He's an awesome character. You clearly do, too, because of Obi-Wan 5000, yeah.
Yeah, I really like Obi-Wan.
Speaking of Obi-Wan 5000, yeah, who's our sponsor today, Bass?
Our sponsor today is Yeah Boy brand shrimp crackers.
Are those real? Like, not Yeah Boy. Are shrimp crackers real? I've heard of
them. They're good.
I think I've eaten them before. I don't think they're good. When you're in the mood for shrimp and crackers, but don't know what to eat, choose Yeah Boy shrimp crackers. Remember, when you're feeling down,
turn the frown into a gown.
Good night, everyone. Dress it.
Bye.
Bye.